I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
Motion 8-08A goes before the assembly as amended. So let's go ahead and vote on the motion. If you're in favor of adoption of 808A as amended, you would press 1. If you're opposed to the adoption of 808A, you would press 2. Please vote now. Motion 808A is adopted by a vote of 51.9% in favor, 48% opposed.
That's Dr. Gerald Kieschnick. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is chairing the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, taking place in Houston, Texas, as we speak. The first day of real business underway, and a big decision made already early in the day, along with some others. Now, 808A is just kind of convention speak for one of the major planks of restructuring the hierarchy, or the bureaucracy, we should say, of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's a significant move, and we'll find out why as we get a live update from the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, taking place in Houston, Texas, with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. She'll join us live from Houston in just a moment. Our call-in number for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-MY-IE. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Monday. It is July the 12th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC or leave a question or a comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. After 10 minutes with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will join us to begin a daily series on Christ Alone today, Christ Alone in the Scriptures, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest, a columnist for Christianity Today, and a contributor to GetReligion.org. She joins us live from Houston, Texas. Molly, welcome.
Thanks. How are you doing?
Very well. What's the biggest story so far from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Houston?
I think you've already highlighted it. Definitely the passage of Resolution 808 is the big story. Now, that's the one that consolidates power underneath the synodical president. Gets rid of all of our current boards, most of our current structure, just eliminates them and now streamlines everything underneath the synodical president. Now, I think a lot of people did not expect this to happen because it makes it seem like we have a Lutheran pope or something like that, but you heard it passed with just the narrowest of margins, like so many things do at these Lutheran conventions, and that's what won the day.
And since then, I guess related motions have been heard by the convention delegates. How has it gone with other motions related to the, kind of the radical restructuring of that Lutheran church body?
Well, it's kind of up and down, depending on what the thing is. So one of the things that was being proposed was to change the number of years that elapse between the time a convention meets from 3 years to 4 years. And that one was, you know, a lot of people thought that was the most popular of all the restructuring proposals. But because it's a constitutional change, it would require a two-thirds majority, and it failed to meet that threshold. So that one went down. But then you had this this big one that was so controversial. I mean, 11 congregations, 7 circuits, 9 districts asked the convention, please do not pass this, or don't pass it now, or make it much better. And only one district supported this restructuring, and yet I don't think the convention actually knew that. The information that's provided to delegates is controlled by the floor committee that's pushing the resolution. So they made sure to pretty much just include the positive information, and of course they were behind it. They were the ones that developed it and whatnot. And so I think that the delegates might have been in a little bit of a bubble of not remembering or not having full information about what the will of the synod was. But then you have other stuff that just passed. For instance, currently what happens is congregations nominate who you're going to have be your next synodical president, but the delegates are the ones to actually make the vote. That's been changed, and now it'll be congregations that do a direct election of who is going to be the next synodical president. Now, that doesn't apply this time. If it did, we'd have a new president, which would be Matt Harrison, who's far and away gotten the most support from congregations, almost twice as much as the incumbent.
Okay, so to kind of so we can understand that this is extremely complex and in many ways inscrutable to those of us who don't spend a lot of time reading bylaws and looking at the intricacies of synodical structure. How would you characterize what happened with the passage this morning of 8-08?
Well, I think I talked to in preparation to talking to you all, I talked with a bunch of delegates about what they were thinking, and a lot of the opposition to this restructuring is because a lot of people just don't think that one person should have that much power, and that the current synodical approach to balancing power out just protects us from a lot of what's hurt other denominations. Other denominations, the mainliners, they all have centralized power, and you sort of see how that doesn't necessarily help them thrive. But as far as the delegates I talked to, many of whom are also Harrison supporters, incidentally, they just thought it was a much more efficient way to get stuff done, which is actually probably true. It's just that efficiency wasn't really the value in mind, I don't think, when most people wrote these bylaws and constitution.
Those who have been perhaps following this, because there is a live stream on the internet, may have noted, among the other things, like technical problems early in the day, which were frustrating to everybody, kind of a new parity in the way that things are discussed and debated. What happened there, Molly?
Yeah, that was an interesting resolution an amendment to the standing rules that was made, or a change to the standing rules. So normally what happens is you have people who support something, and then you have someone who opposes something. And when a floor committee is presenting a proposal, they respond to the people who oppose that proposal by fighting them, and then if they respond to the people who support the proposal by agreeing with them. So the debate is supposed to go pro-con, but it ends up going pro-con, pro-pro, or con-pro-pro-pro. And so they changed it so that if the floor committee defends something, then it should go back to a con speech or whatnot. Now, that was a really surprising change. I'd heard, actually, from one of the guys who actually knows more about convention business than I ever hope to, that is a pretty shocking change. Last time someone tried to do it at a convention, it failed by only getting 12% of the vote, and this time it passed overwhelmingly, like 80% or so. So people clearly wanted to debate these issues, and they care a lot about debating them.
How will the average Lutheran layperson be affected by these changes in structure and governance that are still underway at the convention of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod?
Well, under the past structure, I should say, and some of these things are still being debated, so who knows how things are going to go. Right now, if you're a lay member or if you're a church worker, you have an opportunity to interact with the synod at various levels. You can serve on certain program boards and commissions. You can meet every 3 years in convention. And you just have all these opportunities to interact. You'll have fewer opportunities to interact at the synodical level, which might be a very bad sign for a synod that already struggles to relate to its members and faces decreasing undesignated funding. But on the other hand, there's something that will make for much more congregational involvement, which is this direct election of president. You're going to see a very political thing taken right down to the congregational level. I don't know if people are actually going to want that or if they thought about that repercussion, but it's going to get probably pretty political at the congregational level in the years to come.
What are the next major issues to be considered at the 2010 Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
There are a lot more issues dealing with restructuring, changing the bylaws, and changing the constitution to streamline all this authority under the new president. So there's still that's going to go on for the rest of the day. I think people are starting to get pretty excited about the presidential election, which will be tomorrow. Most people I talked to said they thought that it would be another narrow, vote one way or the other. But we'll have to see how that goes tomorrow.
So if tomorrow afternoon, I think that's when it's scheduled to take place, if Pastor Matt Harrison defeats the incumbent, Dr. Gerald Kieschnick, what's the story that most religion writers won't get about the presidential election of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what you see with these two men, we currently have a president who is, I think a lot of people like both of these men, first off, but we have someone who's just a very political creature. He's very interested in the political machine at the synodical level, and that is his true strength. I mean, he is a master at this convention, and it's just a sight to behold. I think whoever wins the presidency next time, you should have this guy keep on running the conventions, because he just runs them and knows how to get things passed, and it's really impressive. And then with Matt Harrison, you have someone who's more pastoral. He is an executive inside the bureaucracy. He knows how to run a program, and in fact, he's the only guy who's run a program that's actually stayed in the black and has been, in years of massive decline in financial contributions. He's managed everything very well. But he's very pastoral. He's a theologian. He translates things left and right, and he can communicate the Lutheran message down to the people. So I think that what you see there is, if he wins, you'll see people wanting to stop some of this division, the politicking and whatnot. You're going to see people wanting someone who can really articulate what Lutheranism means to a larger populace, which is what Harrison's specialty is.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be joining us throughout the week for live updates from the 2010 convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She's a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, a contributor to GetReligion.org. She joined us live from Houston. Molly, look forward to tomorrow's conversation. Thank you very much.
That was great.
By the way, I think we'll have a link to Molly's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when we come back, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is a favorite guest of many of our listeners, and there's a reason for that. He keeps things, well, I heard one listener say he keeps things so simple that this was one of those recovering evangelicals among our listeners, says that even I can understand it. Even I can understand it as well. So we're going to start with the simplest of things, the claims of Christ, Christ alone. This was one of the solas of the 16th century Reformation, Christ alone. In fact, I would argue the one without which the other solas don't really make much sense. We'll talk about Christ alone in the Scriptures with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn right after this.
I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to What You Want, When You Want, Wherever You Are, issuesetc.org.